Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi there, everyone.
Kate and Dory here.
That's us, your old friends. The voices in your headphones, Kate and Dory, are here to say that we are taking one more little break.
Little break here.
Little rest and relaxation time for us. And we are replaying old episodes. And we have our dear, beloved Midwestern correspondent, Nora McInerney. We are replaying her episode from May 2018, Just Say No, where Nora basically just dazzles us with her brilliance and wisdom.
Literally.
About living a honest and whole life as a human.
Yes. That's a great way of summarizing it.
She's just the best. We love Nora. We love getting to talk to her. We know you will enjoy this one.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
I'm Dory Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And I am nibbling on mango.
Yep, in a microphone.
I'm going to put it down. Putting it down. Nibbling on that dried mango for your ears. Hi, Dory.
Hi, Kate. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good.
Good.
I mean, we have a shared update.
We do.
I mean, it's taking place separately from each other, but we're both in the same space of like mindset, rather, I think is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Which is
home reorganization.
Now, do you ever worry when you're reorganizing your home that you're doing it in place of doing something else? Like, is there ever for you like, I should be doing work, but instead I'm going to clean out this drawer?
No, because for me, home organization has traditionally taken such a backseat that it's like, okay, I'm finally doing this.
I'm a little bit of both, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you know, we rent. So I think a lot of my just like not really investing time or money into organizing has been like, well, how long are we really going to be in this house anyway? And like, I like our house, but I don't love our house, and we don't own our house. So like, how much am I going to put into it has been this sort of like ongoing question. And then lately, now we've been in the house for 3.5 years, and it's like, okay, I want to like feel like this house is like working for me.
Yeah. You want to be fully settled.
Right. So that was part of what reorganizing the office was about, which I've talked about on the podcast. And then I mentioned this briefly on last week's episode, but as part of my birthday present, my husband and I went to the Container Store.
Not only did you go to the Container Store, but you accomplished the organization in the day.
Yes.
That was crazy. Because normally it's like the trip to the Container Store is one event.
Yes.
And then the actual organization is like a whole other thing. Not for you.
No. Well, so just to paint a little picture for the listeners.
Get out your brush.
My kitchen, our house was built in like 1926. And the kitchen, at least the cabinets and the layout of the kitchen are original.
Wow.
So it's not exactly set up for like modern living. And there's this like weird nook that I think was supposed to be like an eating area, but that is actually too small to really comfortably eat in. So we had gotten a table for it that just turned out to be a depository for crap.
The dumping ground.
And it just always looked like shit. And we don't have, like, our kitchen is small and badly laid out. We don't have a lot of counter space. It was just such wasted space, but it was always like, well, it's not like we're going to build cabinets.
Right.
So,
but you also have a separate dining table.
And now we have a separate dining table. But when we moved into the house, we did not.
Oh.
Our living room was arranged differently and we didn't have a dining table.
Okay.
So we ended up like eating dinner on the couch.
You never actually used the tiny table.
We never used the tiny table. It, you know, maybe we used it once, but like we really never used it. And then recently Matt was like, I'm going to figure out how to make this work for us. And he started like taking all these measurements and like he went onto the Container Store's website and he's like, I found what we're going to put there. And I was like, okay. And he showed it to me and it was that, do you know that like Intermetro shelving?
That they sell there. It's like specific to the Container Store.
I don't know if it's specific to the Container Store. I mean, years ago I learned that these are different lines of the same company. One is called Metro Shelving. One is called Intermetro Shelving.
I don't know these specific lines.
They're basically like wire shelves.
I'm familiar with them. Like visually, yeah. I've seen them many times.
So I think the Metro Shelving is more kind of commercial looking. And the Intermetro seems to be more for like home use. So he found these setups that also had like a butcher block top so we could have more counter space.
And do more cutting.
And do more cutting. And, cooking. You know, one of the things that I've been saying is like, we have a stand mixer that is like buried deep in a cabinet. Kate, I think I described it to you as like being essentially booby trapped.
Yeah. It was going to fall on your head.
Well, it was in a cabinet that was actually like close to the ground, but it was so far back and it was in front of it were like literally like 20 like glass bottles, vases, water bottles. Like it just, you right. had to take so much stuff
out.
You're
never using it.
We never used it. And I actually really like to bake. And so that was like, it was like impossible to bake in our kitchen.
I think it's also important to note, like you and Matt, your husband, both do enjoy hosting, cooking. Like you like being in a kitchen. You got him a sous vide thing at one point for a birthday. Like,
I got him a green egg.
That is a thing that cooks meat?
It's a smoker.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I've had a brisket that he made. Yeah. And it was amazing.
He really likes to cook.
Right. So you want your kitchen to be usable. Yes. It's a space that you both will use and enjoy.
Exactly. So we went to the Container Store. We found what we needed. It all comes in pieces. You have to assemble it. We put it together. Matt is good at like house stuff and he's good at fixing things and putting things together. And so we did that. And then like even, you know, we bought two poles that were the wrong size. They were too tall. But he was like, oh, I'll just get out my metal cutter.
Where does he keep that?
In the shed.
Oh, a metal cutter.
Yeah.
So he fixed it.
So we fixed it.
Oh boy, I would not know how to do that.
And then it was set up. And then he was like, okay, let's do this.
And then you reorganized everything. You pulled everything out of shelves.
Yeah, we
were
like, what do we need to be more accessible? And I was like, well, I want the stand mixer to at least be able to access it. And he was like, our mixing bowls, like I want them to be more accessible. And I was like, so all this, and we had stuff in different places. I mean, one of the things that you learn if you ever hire a professional organizer is they tell you to put like with like. So, you know, if you say you have like three frying pans, you shouldn't have like one in the pot rack, one in the cabinet, and one like under the sink.
Right. They should all be together.
They should all be in the same place. So we had a lot of stuff that was the same, but it was scattered in different places.
Interesting.
We also got rid of some stuff. Like there were some pots and pans that we never use, or like stuff that I had, like I was like, oh, these IKEA pots I bought when I lived in Philadelphia in like 2003. Like, I think it's time for these to go. So that felt amazing. And so far it's like, I almost can't believe it.
It looks great. You posted it. You shared a photo and it looks amazing.
I shared a before and after on our Instagram stories. It just feels so much better. And now I have these, I'm like, oh, I can tackle the rest of the kitchen. Like for basically the whole time we've lived there, the kitchen has just felt like this like oppressive, cluttered space. Like there just wasn't room for everything.
Plus you don't have a dishwasher. So you have a drying rack. Like that takes up an enormous amount of counter space. Yep. Yeah, that's hard.
So it was really a wonderful birthday.
And how have you used the new Nook at all? Like, have you been using that cutting board? Not cutting board, but you know what I mean? The counter space.
Yeah,
there?
I've already been using it. And it also having all of that new storage has freed up some storage in some other places.
It's like a puzzle.
It is like a puzzle. So it's been really, really good. And also, you know, I think my husband and I both tend to accumulate things. Mm-hmm.
Same over here.
Yeah. And so he has been like, oh, we need to get rid of stuff.
That's great. Like,
yes. So I don't know. I think we're both in this mode now. And maybe I think you purge and then you learn how to not accumulate so much stuff in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's an ongoing process.
It is an ongoing process.
It's very
process.
Hard to break that habit.
Uh-huh.
I struggle with that massively.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm excited to bake.
Baking
as
something.
Self-care.
Can you bake those Alison Roman shortbread chocolate chip
cookies
again? Yes,
I can. And you know what else that I, another thing I like to bake are these, they're paleo chocolate chip cookies that are actually really good.
I think I've had the ones that you make.
Yeah, they're
great.
They're made with almond flour. Almond flour is delicious.
It is good.
I mean, they cost like five times as much as a regular chocolate chip cookie, but they're delicious.
It tastes great.
It tastes great.
Every bite is worth $1 million.
Kate,
yes.
You also put on our Instagram recently one of your reorganization projects. And it was calming to look at it, I have to say.
I was really like touched by the response.
Oh.
Well, because when it's your own home, you're like, I don't know if anyone's going to think this looks impressive, but
we have
in my bedroom, there is a closet that is essentially like the linen closet for the whole house and also like the medical closet. You know, like where cold medicine is, where Band-Aids are. It's also where we keep like the extra soap and the extra deodorants that we buy at Costco that we probably don't need, but we still buy. And then also like the irons there. It's basically one. We don't have we live in a smaller sized house. We don't have a lot of closet space. So this is kind of it. It's all where all the towels are, where all the sheets are, some pillows. And it's also a very tall closet. So it's there's like a whole section. We have very high ceilings in this room. So you can't, like, you have to put stuff away with a ladder. So it's a whole thing. But the bottom half of it, that's about, you know, 6 feet high, was a disaster. It was a true, unmitigated, just a chaos swirl of shit. And every time I opened it, like, it was the kind of thing where I'd be like shoving towels back in to even get the door closed, and the door wouldn't close all the way because things were just pouring out of it. And it's also that thing where like I had a basket of samples for sample size things, but then we were just throwing the medical stuff. Like there was, it was just,
and it was hard to find stuff.
It was impossible. Nothing was labeled. I mean, it was just gross. And we also had so many like queen size sheets, and we don't have a queen size bed anymore. Like it was just filled with stuff.
Yeah.
Now, what I did was I looked on IKEA's website and I like planned ahead for the products that I thought would work. Some of them were things that we already are using in the home that I knew like fit in the closet, like this big weird mesh basket that they make that's like a part of their closet system, but we actually use it in a cupboard in our kitchen, and it's something that I really like. And so I kind of went shelf by shelf. And I was like, what will work for each of these sections? Now, I can't quite remember if I purged first and then went to IKEA, which is what you should do, but I always do it wrong. I always feel like I buy the things. I think I might have actually purged first and then gone. I don't, my brain is just not working that far back. It was literally like 2 weeks ago, but, and I was able to, I got rid of a lot of towels. I got rid of a lot of sheets. I mean, just tons of sheets. And I donated them all to our local animal shelter, which takes blankets and towels and sheets for the animals. That's a great, like, if you have a ton of used, worn blankets and sheets that might not, you might not be able to donate elsewhere. Like, an animal shelter is a great place to check out if they will take it. So I sent all that stuff there. And then I also just purged through all our fucking medical supplies. And boy, did we have a lot of stuff. Like my husband had a cyst removed from his shoulder earlier this year. And it's fine. It's healed. But for some reason, like all the bandages, this was a year ago, actually not this year, over a year ago, this happened. And all the bandages that the doctor gave him extra that he had never used were just shoved right. in. You know what I mean? Like
totally.
There was just a lot of that. And so what I did was I bought different kinds of bins. I labeled everything with my label maker.
Yes.
And at IKEA, I found these amazing stackable small bins with lids. And so whereas I was now able to double up on my space on these shelves. It was truly, it's a true gift. Now, is it annoying when I like want to go get a Band-Aid and it's in the lower box and I have to pull the bigger box out? It's a little bit of like a dance, but when you live in a smaller space, I think that's just what you have to do.
Yeah.
Like I don't have 50 freaking closets. So it really freed up so much space. And I was able to label like first aid, cold and flu kind of stuff.
Oh, amazing.
Sample sizes and then a nail polish container. Then I have a bin with all our travel stuff because we have 8 million like travel bags and a travel hairdryer and now my travel humidifier that I got and you know that kind of mm-hmm. junk that was just floating around. And then another bin for the hot water bottle, the heating pad, the iron, the steamer. Mm-hmm. That pile of shit.
Hot things.
I mean, like you just have, and then another big bin for like the extra toothbrushes that yep. are just, again, we're just like, I mean, it looked like this closet was bursting at the seams and everything is now in a container and on the container is a label. And it freed up enough room that I was able to add in like a box where I just put cords because there were all these like, you know, iPhone cords that would just kind of live on wherever, whatever space, the floor, the bedside table. And I was able to store those. I was able to make a little memory box of little like treasures that end up in my room, like notes that my kids write me and stuff like that. And that can go in there.
I love that.
So I feel like, and then also Dory, as previously discussed, the purged products that I put in a shoebox from my bathroom.
Oh, yes.
Those fit in the closet. Ugh. There's enough room that I could shove those in there. And it still looks neat and organized. And I tell you what, like the rest of my house is still a disaster. It's a mess. There's stuff everywhere. I can't even, there's a diorama sitting on a chair in our kitchen that I have no idea where my kid doesn't want to throw it out. I don't know where it's supposed to go. It's a huge shoebox diorama of pika. Pika is a small mouse-like animal that lives in cold climates.
Oh,
Just so you know. So there's just shit everywhere.
Right.
But this one closet brought me so much fucking joy. Like every time I open it, one, I'm like, oh my God, it's so organized. And two, like I did this.
Isn't that the best feeling?
Yes. Now the only annoying thing, and I don't know if this is just me, but I feel like anytime I purge a closet, it still is stuffed to the max. Like I have this kind of bin for towels and I had done the laundry and folded the towels that were in the laundry. And then when I put them all into the bin, I was still shoving the bin. Like just, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like yeah. I never just have one towel.
Yeah.
I'm still feel like I'm maxed out.
Yeah.
But in a more contained way that is manageable. I mean, I just don't. There's no other way around it. You know what I mean? Like I just.
It sounds like you made huge progress.
I did. I mean, I and also the other thing I will say, first of all, I got all the bins at IKEA. I love IKEA. And anytime I say that to people, they're horrified because IKEA, I think, can be a really stressful experience. I find their organizational bins to be pretty good and affordable. Now, I love a container store, but I find I spend too much money there. Mm-hmm. That being said, I originally had dollar store bins in this closet and they were not good quality.
Mm.
And so I feel like I found this with all the dollar store bins I purchased, they like stretched out and broken very quickly. And I had purchased them because I was trying to do it affordably, but I was definitely sacrificing some quality. So the IKEA products that I bought so far have felt like the price was good, but also that they are going to hold up. We'll see how that goes over the long term.
I can't wait to hear.
Because I do think sometimes you like for this is another topic, but I had a really bad kitchen moth problem.
Oh yeah.
And it was dis- disgusting. And I had a lot of like dollar store cereal holders and stuff. And I went to the Container Store and I just fucking sucked it up. And I spent a ton of money on these like fancy kitchen food containers. And they're airtight and we have not had a moth. Like, and I also cleaned everything out and went through a whole...
Yeah, we've been talking about getting some really good airtight containers.
I will show you the ones I bought because I researched these and they're fantastic. And kitchen moths, I mean, they were, it was in every food. They would fly out in my face every time I opened a cabinet. And even with the traps, they weren't completely, they were not going away and they were getting
in everything. I had kitchen moths in my old apartment in containers that were allegedly airtight and were not.
It's disgusting. Yeah. So sometimes I do think you, if you're really trying to get rid of the moths or really trying to accomplish like true organization, it does help to invest in products that will really do the job. Yeah. But I have found that IKEA has some really great organizational tools. If you really know what you need and your spaces are measured, I measured all the shelves. Like I really went to IKEA and put a lot of like measured everything before I purchased it, but they have a great return policy. So if you mess up, it's okay. I love IKEA. I love it.
I'd love to hear from our listeners about their organization projects.
I would. And you know what else I love? Send us photos. We could share it on the Instagram stories.
Oh, that's such a good idea.
It'd be fun to see other people's organized spaces. And here, I would love to know where you buy organizational tools, because also sometimes there are some good hacks.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
So hook us up.
So go to our Instagram at Forever 35 Podcast and just slide into our DMs.
Send us some photos
or tag us and we will put them on our story.
Yeah.
You can also leave us a voicemail at 781-591-0390 or email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And holler at us in Facebook group, www.facebook.com/group/forever35podcast.
And it would be great if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and also tell a friend about the show. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break.
Time for a break.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like
and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
And now we're going to hear from our guest, the one and only Nora McInerney.
Our guest today is Nora McInerney. Nora is the host of the podcast, Terrible Thanks for Asking, the author of the memoir, It's Okay to Laugh, parentheses, crying is cool too, close parentheses, and the founder of the nonprofit organization Still Kicking, which was inspired by a t-shirt her husband Aaron wore when he had a seizure that later revealed his brain cancer. And Still Kicking uses money raised from the sale of t-shirts like Aaron's and other merchandise, donation-based workouts, and other events to financially support a monthly Still Kicking hero, which is really, really awesome. You do amazing work. And Nora lives in Minneapolis and is also a mother.
Mother to the max. And thank you for not leading with that, because I feel like as soon as you're a mom, people are like, she's a mom. Mm-hmm. And what else matters? Nothing.
No, so, your whole identity is your children. You should know that by now.
I'm slowly coming to grips with that fact, that I'm now just like so-and-so's mom.
It's hard. And also the hard thing is when you start referring to yourself as that, like if you're meeting another parent at a child's school and they're trying to place you and then you're like, oh, I'm, you know, so-and-so's mom. And they're like, oh, right. You know, that you, that does become part of who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was a great bio and also such a great description of Still Kicking. I feel like when people ask me to talk about it, the elevator speech is like the Willy Wonka elevator. Like, I don't know where we're going or when it will end. And it's a kind of scary, but that was a very good description. So thank you.
Did you start Still Kicking immediately after Aaron died?
No, we started it. So we had traced the shirt, his thrift store shirt that says Still Kicking in like these faded letters. It was clearly homemade. I like to imagine for like somebody's grandpa's 100th birthday, and he wore it like ironically, you know, it was the kind of heyday of ironic t-shirts. Sure. And I still have like 150 of his ironic t-shirts in storage in our basement, but that was like his favorite one. He didn't like me to wear it because I sweat too much, and also he was afraid I would stretch out the arms. So, you know, I don't wear it. It's hanging up in my office. I think you saw it when you came to my house. And and so we had traced it and we, you know, sold it on cottonbureau.com, which is one of my favorite companies, and given the money to brain cancer research. And we ended up selling like thousands of these. And the people at Cotton Bureau had gotten in touch with me and said, look, we'll keep selling this shirt as long as you want us to, but I think you know that this could be more than a shirt. And so when you're ready to do your own thing, let us know and we will tell us everything you need. We'll tell you everything you need to know. And they totally did. So thank you to Cotton Bureau for
Getting the plug.
That's so great.
To Jay and Kate really coming through and truly connecting me with everything that I needed to know to start this. And I did start it as first as an LLC because I'm lazy and I thought a nonprofit would be too hard. There's a form called like the nonprofit easy form. Like it's easy, takes just as much time. And so I would not have messed up my taxes so badly had I not given all the money I made away.
Joke's on you.
Exactly. Correct. My accountant was like, what? Where's the money? I was like, how are you not following? I gave it away. Is that a problem? Did I collect tax? No. Because the money's gone. Can we move on?
But Nora, when you started it, was there a self-care element to it? I think like we've talked about like giving back and volunteering as part of a self-care routine. And we've also had questions about grief and self-care during grief. And I was curious if starting a nonprofit that supports people who are going through experience that you've been through was did it, like, how did it help you at all as you were moving through your experience with grief?
I think that the first thing you want to do when something terrible happens to someone you love is you want to fix it. When you can't fix it, you just want to do something.
Yeah.
And especially when someone dies, everyone wants to do something, make something, like build their monument to the person that they loved. And what I would tell most people now is don't do that, but to find something that you care about, find somebody or some organization that is already doing that work and get in where you fit in with the work that's already being done.
Good advice.
Because it will be very, I think that having been around a lot of tragic stories and a lot of traumatic stories, everybody wants to, you know, I want to start a nonprofit. I want to start this like race. I want to start, I understand it. I understand that compulsion 100%. And I also understand that most of them, I think just making up this statistic, but I probably read it in a tweet somewhere, close within 5 years, because it will be hard to keep that, you know, momentum going.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Around a person who, and I knew that from the beginning, Aaron really, he's my husband. He's Ralph's dad. He, you know, is Nikki's big brother. He's Kim's son. And the people who love him will always love him, but Still Kick In is not Aaron. It's not me. It's something bigger. It has to mean something to a lot of people beyond just the person that you lost. And Aaron didn't want just to be a sad story, a story about somebody who died. And, you know, he wouldn't want to be, he's the heart of what, of, and the impetus for Still Kicking, but it's not about him. It's about literally the fact that everybody will go through something really, really difficult and we don't get to pick it and pick when it happens. So it was a way to take care of myself. I think it still is for me. I feel really lucky. I feel really lucky that Aaron, you know, got sick and died. I feel lucky that he was diagnosed with incurable brain cancer and had health insurance. And that even though he didn't have life insurance, we had, you know, enough people in our lives and enough people who had people in their lives who could all give an average of, I think, like $10 or $12 and create a life insurance policy for us. Wow. Somebody made an online fundraiser. If you look through all those You Caring pages, all those GoFundMe pages, we are all crowdsourcing our way through death and sickness. And most people don't have a network to tap to save them. So yeah. I am one person. I cannot change, you know, all of these really unjust policies and systems within, you know, the American economy and our healthcare system. Although I'm very interested. I don't know what lobbying is, but like, get me in there. I think I should do it.
It sounds hard and stressful,
but it also sounds like
hard and stressful.
Sounds like something you'd be like good at.
Yeah, you're convincing.
Doesn't it? It just sounds like I love yelling. I feel like I love getting fired up. But what I can do is I can help, you know, I can help a person like get through this. And it feels really good for people to feel seen and heard through their difficult thing. And it's not all going to be cancer. It's not all going to be cancer. So, you know, we help a lot of people through a lot of different and difficult situations. And I just hope that we honestly just inspire people to do whatever they can. Like, you don't have to fix everything. Like, you just have to start with whatever you can do. So getting back to grief, Kate, I know this. I know you know this. Dory, I know you know this. When people say, like, what can I do to somebody? Like, the answer is like, well, what can you do? Like, just pick your thing,
put it back to them. Mm-hmm. That's a good way. Like, I love that. That's such a good way to handle that question.
Yeah.
Cause that's
like, and before you ask someone, just think like, what can I do? If what you can do is show up to somebody's house and mow their lawn without even asking, do that.
Yeah.
Like, if what you can do is give $20 to their GoFundMe, do that. So sorry. Is this my podcast? Welcome to Forever 35.
It is your podcast.
This is our Minneapolis bureau.
Yeah. Our Minneapolis correspondent.
Yeah, our Minneapolis correspondent checking in.
I would die for that. I'm not pitching you. I'm just saying that nobody loves your podcast more than the two of you and me.
Dora, you had a question?
I did have a question, Nora, which is, let's talk about your podcast, because I'm wondering if a similar impulse that led to Still Kicking was also what drove you to create Terrible Thanks for Asking, or if it was something completely different.
No, it was the same. It was, you know, I Still Kicking was primarily Aaron's idea. He wanted to use that shirt and that phrase to help people. I basically just fine-tuned it, and with the help of Lindsay Wenner, who's our COO, just got it over the finish line, got it started, got it going. And we get a lot of messages from a lot of people, and I do too, because I've written about, you know, my life, and Terrible Thanks for Asking just came out of that same inbox where I'm like, I can't help every single person through every single thing, but I do think that there's a lot of value in being able to help somebody else feel seen and heard, and to create things. And in the instance of Terrible Thanks for Asking, that's an episode of a podcast that help illustrate a general feeling through a specific story, so that I'm creating shows that, you know, help people build empathy for a situation they haven't been in yet, or help people point to this episode and say, look, this isn't exactly what I went through, but it felt like this.
Yeah. But do you, I feel like sometimes when we talk to people who are constantly processing other people's trauma, it's also sometimes hard for them to think about their own self-care. So I'm wondering if that has been, has that been hard for you to always be talking with people about these really hard things they've gone through? And how do you deal with that?
I truly listen to your podcast.
Oh boy.
I do. Aww. I really do. It's so soothing to me. I love it so much. I listen to your podcast. I listen to a lot of lighthearted things. Too Beautiful to Live, TBTL, one of my favorites.
I don't know that one.
It's a daily podcast. It honestly, I love the guys who run it so much, because it's kind of like listening to just my two brothers talk all day, but I wouldn't do that if they were my brothers.
Too Beautiful to Live. Okay, that's a good recommendation.
Too Beautiful to Live. Yeah, it's really hard to explain. I think if you like the show, you'll like it. And if you don't, that's okay too. But yeah, it is. A year ago, I would have told you, no, it's not hard at all. This is such an honor. I love doing this work. That's all true. And it is really difficult. Yeah, I do have days where I leave the studio and I'm like, oh, I've just been crying for 4 hours. And then people stay with me. These stories stay with me. There isn't a neat conclusion to these. They don't have a neat and happy ending. And that is, I'm just absorbing a lot all the time, and kind of we all are, no matter what we do, but especially if you choose to, just immerse yourself in the traumas of others for your job. But also, what other job could I do after this? Could I have gone back to writing tweets for a discount hair care company? I don't know. Maybe.
But, well, it's interesting though, because some people do.
Oh, most people.
I mean, my
do.
Dad went back to his job, a week after my mom died, he was back in his office. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's how some people take care of themselves. Yeah. But I spend a lot of time alone and a lot of time in I work from home, which is why I'm talking so much, because I'm just excited to talk to somebody. And I also, I listen to your podcast. I also read a lot of books. It just
you
feels
read
nice to
so
sit
many books.
And read. I read a lot of books.
And what are you reading?
Right now, let me go to my little bookshelf. I'm about to wrap up The Year of Less by Kate Flanders.
Okay.
How I Stopped Shopping, Gave Away My Belongings, and Discovered Life is Worth More Than Anything You Can Buy in a Store. It sounds like it would be a little derivative, but it's very satisfying, I think, in the same way that your podcast is, that she chronicles, first of all, how her spending habits aligned with like her other habits of excess, like alcoholism.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah. And then like sort of like unwrapping those and sort of like diary-esque.
Are you going to stop buying things?
I mean, I have stopped buying a lot of stuff. And Dory, you have influenced me in that way. Like, what do I actually need? And I mean, I'm starting an Instagram account today to sell some of the stuff I don't wear.
Yes.
It's like,
Nora, yes.
You know, I'm like, I don't wear this and it's great. It's, you know, pretty good stuff. And I was like, it's great. It's good. Okay.
Right. Your stuff is quality. Someone should buy it.
Right. And I just love the idea of like mailing it out and like giving it to like somebody who will love it.
Yeah,
totally.
Because it doesn't deserve to just hang up in, you know, the back of my closet. So especially your 10 by 10 channel. I don't do that. I'm not that devoted to stuff, but I have gotten really good at like, now I can see all the clothes in my closet and that feels so good. So
it's the best feeling.
It's the best feeling.
Yeah.
It's the best feeling.
We're going to take a quick break from hearing from Nora for a word from our sponsor.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
And now we're back with Nora.
When I visited you in Minneapolis, when I did your live show for Terrible Thanks for Asking, and you kindly...
Please tell people how you got to my house,
kindly picked me up at the airport and brought me a salad and also like a giant bottle of sparkling water. And I ate the salad in your car.
I did that, didn't I?
Yes, it was so kind. And then we went back to your house and you showed me all the products that you had purchased because of this podcast. But you have a great selection of products. But what's like your... You also, when I first met you, were wearing an amazing pink ColourPop lipstick. I'll never forget it. You had like bright pink lips and they looked so good. So can you like take us through some of your faves? I feel like you're very comfortable with bold color choices, which I am terrified of. And I would be curious to know like what's in your bag? Like what is your thing?
The color lip that I was wearing the day we met was L'Oreal Glossy Balm in Pink Me Up. I don't believe they make it anymore, but I have
a good pun.
Five that I've stockpiled that are still, which, you know, a callback to this week's episode for you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, I do buy multiples of things that I love that are inexpensive and it is not wasteful. It's actually more efficient.
Right, because you just have it there when you need it.
Yeah.
And if you have a color, especially a drugstore color, like there are certain things that like, you know, Maybelline's not going to make this forever. Like, will they probably repackage it and sell it as something else and rename it? Yes, but do you want to take that risk? So the colors that I'm wearing now, Maybelline, I'm so nervous to talk to you. Maybelline Lip Ink.
Oh, I just bought a bunch of that.
It lasts forever. I love it. So I have it in heroin with the E.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I was like, oh,
right,
Maybelline.
That's
very fucked up.
Yeah. And that's a hot pink, like really, really bright pink. And then I have it in lover, I might have gotten these like transposed, which is like a great blood red, like a really blue red.
Are you a drugstore makeup only person? Like, are you loyal to the drugstore
or
makeup?
Or do you go to Sephora's?
Okay. Look, first of all, also, I love all your abbreves, Kate. Like, they're really catching
on. I know,
on.
You know, I hope that was cool 10 years ago to abbreve things. I don't know why I'm trying to bring it back.
We're bringing it back.
We're circling bringing it around. Back. Can you guys hear that I'm currently in my bathroom because I feel like I gave you bad information.
I know, that was great
about
information.
The colors of my lipstick, and I'm panicking because I think heroin is the orangey red.
Okay.
Lover is the deep red. Then there's a hot pink. And where is it? It's in my car right now. I won't take you guys to my car, but I could. Okay, what were we talking about? Oh, things I like.
Yeah,
no, do you only buy drugstore?
Yeah, are you a drugstore brand loyalist?
I love going to Sephora in theory, okay? But I'm not ashamed to say I am a drugstore beauty person, yes, to the max.
Like, no shame.
You get high at Sephora's. I get high at CVS.
I love it.
In the updated versions of Walgreens, although CVS is, I mean, it's better. Let's just call it.
I mean, CVS
is a superior shopping experience.
It is a New England company.
Yeah,
so.
We don't have it much out here in California. No. We've got Rite Aids.
There's a big CVS at 3rd and La Brea.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. CVS is great. Target is redesigning all their beauty sections. And I have gotten a lot of the Pacifica stuff that Dory has recommended.
Mm-hmm. I love Pacifica.
My favorite overnight mask, which is Wake Up Beautiful. And I put that on a plane. And you get off the plane.
Oh. We're doing a lot of moaning this episode. A lot of, I love
Wait,
that.
And also you live in the Target, you live in Target HQ land.
I do.
So do you have like super Targets? Like are all your Targets like amazing?
When I visited Minneapolis, my friend was like, do you mind if we go to Target? My friend who lives there. And I was like, hells to the no. And it was a beautiful Target. And I bought Hunter everything.
Oh, that's
the Hunter Target line.
It's the same weekend. Mm. Guess what, Kate? I couldn't go because I was snowed in my house. I was snowed. We had to cancel the second show. Kate somehow was free and clear. They didn't plow where I live. I was stuck here. I went snowshoeing. We snowshoed to Walgreens because my 11-year-old had $20 and wanted a new lipstick. And I was like, if you want to snowshoe there, we'll go. She was up for it.
Can we talk about her style? I was intimidated. Her style
incredible.
She's so fucking cool. And it gave me like all the hope for the future of the world.
Yeah. And she shaved her head.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it looked so good. And she walked in after shaving her head and she goes, now I can't hide behind my hair. It was so self-aware.
Oh my God. Does she want to be a guest on this podcast?
Honestly.
She's just getting into lipstick and she knows how to wear it. It's amazing.
I love chic tweens.
Nora, where did you get your beauty and self-care knowledge from besides this podcast? Like, was your mom into self-care?
Heck no.
Are your friends?
No. I got it from 17 magazine, the way we all did. Mm-hmm. My mom sounds like a lot like your mom's, where like I had to teach my mom how to curl her hair, put on makeup.
Yes.
Like all that kind of stuff. And I think from a young age too, like VH1, they had so many shows about supermodels. Like we grew up in the heyday of supermodels.
We did.
So
that's
I think we
true.
Need... Like I have to give a lot of credit to just like the 90s glam look. You would not know it by looking at me, but I love like aggressive femininity.
Like Cindy Croft, like kind of the Amazonian woman of the late 80s, early
90s. Yeah. And even, you know, yes. Or like Linda Evangelista. Mm-hmm. I truly like a real housewife look. I love just people who can put a lot of effort in. I think it's
like a Kardashian, like a true glam.
Yes. Yeah. Like I think I was telling you, Kate, I hate the phrase like natural beauty as if it's like somehow more valuable than if you wear makeup or something. It's sort of like, it just seems like a strange way to.
I am with you on this, Nora.
Yeah.
Almost like Nora, when people call vaginal childbirth or unmedicated childbirth natural, like there's like putting natural in front of something gives it an air of superiority.
Well,
right,
in the infertility community, we refer to we don't call like sex conception natural.
Okay.
We call it spontaneous.
Right. Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because natural, it's a word that's really thrown around.
And it's loaded. It's a loaded word.
It is very loaded.
But Nora, I'm also, I'm with you on this whole
spontaneous.
Yeah, right. I'm with you on this whole natural beauty thing because I feel like lately also this like no makeup look has become kind of fetishized. And I'm like, I like putting on makeup. I like how I look in makeup, you know?
Same. And I love fake eyelashes.
Yeah.
I have my tattoos or I have my eyebrows microbladed, which is a fancy way of saying my eyebrows are tattooed.
Talk us through that experience. We haven't had anyone who's been microbladed on the show. Can you speak to that?
Oh my goodness. Well, to answer everybody's questions, Emily at Brow Bar Minnesota did my eyebrows. Probably my most frequently asked question. It was wonderful. I feel like I just wake up and my face is already on. And it's been over a year. They're still here. They last between 1 and 3 years. The process, it's not as if, I mean, we've all seen like older women with tattooed eyebrows and it looks like their eyebrows are tattooed on. This is not using like a tattoo gun. It's basically like a small microblade, like almost like a tiny X-Acto knife that's like dipped into ink and like little stripes of hair, like little hairs drawn onto you. So it feels like your face is being scratched by a cat. So it's not terribly painful, but it did make me sneeze a lot. So,
And how long does the process take? Like how many minutes per each eyebrow does it take to blade it?
I think I was probably there for an hour. And so we do, you know, she does the first appointment, you go home, you heal, in a couple weeks, you go back and she like does any touch-ups. And that was included in the price. And I don't know if every practitioner does that, but that's how Emily does it. And
What is the price?
Oh, I don't remember. I feel like it's like around the $400 range. Mm-hmm.
That's an investment.
It is. It is. And it lasts for like, you know, anywhere between 1 to 3 years. And if you're a person who does like a lot of eyebrow maintenance, like getting your eyebrows dyed every couple months, you know, maybe it just makes like a ton of, it wasn't a financial decision for me. It's not like, oh my gosh, I'm spending so much time and money just penciling in my eyebrows. Like clearly I got the time, like I've got the time and I've got $6, but I just really love the way it looks.
Wow. That's so cool.
Also, you're
purely vanity.
Well, I have a question. You're very fair. Were your eyebrows also very blonde?
No, not really. I have kind of dark eyebrows.
Oh,
I mean, they're not super dark, but they're definitely darker than my bleached hair. And I like a sort of dramatic eyebrow. Now I'm looking at them like maybe we should go get them touched up.
They look great. And the interesting thing about microblading is I wouldn't look at you and say you have thinly tattooed eyebrows on. They look just like your eyebrows.
They do. They do. And she follows your natural shape, but she can also like add in like a little more shaping to them, which I needed because I'd overplucked as a child of the 90s.
Yep. We all did it.
Yeah. 99. We were like, who wants eyebrows?
No, give us a thin straight pencil line.
Thinnest line.
Oh, that was a mistake.
An upside down Nike symbol.
We were we were all misled.
But you know what's interesting? The 90s style is back right now. But bushy, thick eyebrows along with it. It's like this generation figured out the fashion's terrible.
They were like, no way.
They were like, you guys really fucked up those brows. Yeah, the brows are rough. Well, Nora, is there any other self-care thing you want to share with our audience? This has been incredibly informative.
Oh, thank you. Are you trying to get me off the phone? Because it's not going to happen. This is a three-parter. Just kidding.
That would actually be, we were going to try to do this in LA, but we couldn't make it happen. But the next time you're here,
you're going to be a repeat guest.
You are the Minneapolis correspondent.
You're the Minneapolis correspondent.
I did actually have a question, Nora.
Yeah.
So a lot of our guests, I think almost all of them have been located in either Los Angeles or we've had a few New Yorkers. One San Francisco. Apologies if I'm missing somebody's hometown, but I'm interested if you, and here in LA, it's, you know, woo-woo central. Everybody is, you know, like having crystal facials and it's self-care is like the number one theme of Los Angeles. We're all like hiking and, you know, it's a thing. But in the Midwest, how do you think people approach self-care? Do you think it's different there than it is here? Like, I mean, is there kind of
I mean, it's a little woo here. It just sort of depends. I think, you know, because of like the internet and specifically Instagram, like, don't worry, we're all rubbing crystals on ourselves.
I'm glad to know that's here. Universal and all over America.
It's universal. But I think it's really hard for, I think what I've really enjoyed about your show and the conversation is that sometimes it feels when you hear self-care used broadly as if it's just like eating a salad and taking a bath. But I like that the two of you really like are, I don't know, just, it feels like it's helped me understand self-care more too. That it's not just like the things that you buy for yourself, but also like the decisions that you make about the way that you live.
Yeah. And how you spend your time, how you choose to spend your time.
Right. And I think for a long time, like I think that it's very hard for people to like protect their time. So I don't know how everybody, you know, I can't speak on behalf of like the entire Midwest, but
We'd like you to. Like,
yeah, that's your role.
But it won't stop me. It won't stop me. So, I mean, it's not as woo. I wish that it were easier to, you know, like what I love about LA, I'm like, God, anything that you want to do nicely for yourself is just very easy to do there. Like very easy.
Yeah. Yes. Almost too easy.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the means, I mean, that's part of the challenge, I think, with like one thing I am interested in as we keep talking about self-care is doing it in a way that's not financially burdensome. Is burdensome a word?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It is.
Because I do think it can start to be like, how, like if I buy 50 million creams,
yep.
But that doesn't necessarily
That doesn't equate. Bring happiness.
No, but no, it is, and it can be nice.
Yeah.
But what
and
is
I used
it?
To be a major spender and like sort of in the name of like, well, like, you know, my husband's dead. Like,
right.
So, mm-hmm. So why shouldn't I have like, so many things. And that was
I do this with IVF. I'm like, yeah, I'm going through IVF. Yes. I deserve this. I'm like, I just, you know what? It. A lot of times I do.
Yeah.
You do.
And you know what? And for me, what I deserve more is like, I think the number one thing that takes away from like my well-being is feeling like I am obligated to people that I'm not obligated to.
Yeah.
Slow claps.
And
slow.
I don't care who you are. I don't care whether or not you have a podcast that people listen to or how many people follow you on Instagram. Like there are people who are acting as if your time belongs to them and it doesn't. So this is people who are like, hey, just quick question, but I want you to drop everything and answer something that I can Google myself. These are people who, you know, really like suck the energy out of you, people that you don't want to like be around and engage with. And like, maybe you're just sort of like following them on Instagram out of obligation, or maybe they're people that you have brunch with, even though like you would really prefer to just spend that time at home alone. To me, the number one self-care has just been saying no.
Yes.
Like just not doing everything.
That we're all just raising our hands.
I think that is also the perfect note to end on. Thank you, Nora. Just say no. This was such a pleasure.
Nora, you remain just the best.
Yeah, you are the best.
I cannot tell you how much I love this show without sounding like a dangerous person.
Well, we're going to get off the phone now. Yeah, okay, it was great talking to you.
I know where you live, but I feel that way about your podcast.
You truly know where I live. This is called the Minnesota Goodbye. It's where you've tried to say goodbye to me twice.
Oh, I love Minnesota. Hey, okay? Nora, where can listeners find you? Aside from in Minneapolis, but where can people find you and all the amazing projects you have going on?
My Twitter and Instagram are Nora Borealis. I feel like that's probably the best place to find me. I have a podcast called Terrible Thanks for Asking. I have two new books that are going to come out next year. Two new books. Yeah.
Man, you are creating up a storm.
So, well, I mean, you know, create or die. It's part of my, like, it's part of my midlife crisis is just, you know, Aaron died when he was 35. Now I'm 35. Yeah. Aaron is literally forever 35. Weird. We didn't get into right. that. So I'm just like, I gotta just do everything that I want to do because someday I will die. And then also I have to do nothing that I don't want to do because who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Honestly. So like, just say no to people that you don't want to be around and things you don't want to do. Like, you do not have to say yes to everything. Everything is an opportunity. People want to position everything as an opportunity. It's not an opportunity if it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I mean, I cannot agree with you enough, and I need to take your advice.
Yes.
Yeah. If it doesn't make you money or make you happy, you're not doing it. And preferably it's both. But, you know, my kids don't make me any money yet.
Not yet.
And
they're going to be future Instagram influencers, though.
Oh, gosh.
Nora, we love you. And we will
adore you.
We will love.
We will talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay.
All right. This is okay.
This is the real. This is the real goodbye.
This is the real goodbye.
Goodbye. All right. All
we're
right,
doing
bye,
it.
Guys.
Thank you so much for calling, for letting us do this.
And yeah. Do I really hang up? Or
yeah.
Are we just ending the podcast or are we ending everything? The conversation too?
Okay. Not our friendship.
Not our friendship. But
good.
Okay.
You got stuff to do. You're on a sketch. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
So it was great to hear from our Minneapolis correspondent.
Nora McInerney.
Nora McInerney.
Representing the great state of Minnesota.
Yeah. Do you know what Minnesota's state like name is? Because I don't. You know, like
the lone, it's the other Lone Star State.
Exactly.
I don't know, but I don't think I know many of them.
Yeah, I don't either.
Massachusetts is the spirit of America.
No, it's the Bay State.
Oh, the spirit of America is the spirit of Massachusetts. What is that? A song?
The
I know
the spirit of Massachusetts is the spirit of America. So Kate, last week you were going to do a minute of leg stretching. How did that go?
I was not great at timing myself, but I did manage to stretch more every day.
That's amazing.
I feel a little bit better too.
Yeah, how are your hammies?
My hammies are good. The interesting thing for me is that when I stretch my legs, it helps my back pain.
Oh,
so
sure.
So I feel like it's just a necessary thing I should do every day.
I love that.
Stretching is key, right? And
yeah.
I just always forget to do it.
Yeah.
But it did help me just to be a little bit more intentional and remember to do it every day.
That's so great.
I will say a minute is a lot longer than you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew?
How are your piano jams?
They're going great. I got to tell you, I've just been tickling the ivories.
I hope you say that in every conversation.
I've been tickling the synthetic ivories. yeah. I mean, some days I play more than others, but it's, you know what? It really helps that it's right in my office.
Yeah. Have you written your own music yet?
No.
Are you going to?
Probably not.
Okay.
You know, that was never something that I was like, even when I was like playing piano as a kid, that was never something that I was interested in or wanted to pursue. Like I enjoy playing the piano, but I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a music writer. So you know, I enjoy what I enjoy.
What's your intention for this coming week?
Kate, I'm going to copy you.
No way.
Yeah. I'm going to do the leg stretch challenge.
Oh, are you really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so honored.
I am, because I'm sick of like feeling so tight in my hamstrings.
That feeling when you get out of bed in the morning and you're like hobbling
yes.
because your body is so tight.
I don't want to feel that way anymore. So
oh,
I'm going to do
God.
That.
Be the change.
Be the change. How about you?
Okay. Here's what I wrote down. What if I meditated once this week? Just once? I really like meditating, but I never do it.
Mm.
And I struggle with this feeling of like, this is a waste of time. I could be doing, I have a whole list of things I need to get done. I have a huge to-do list. Why am I sitting here instead of doing my to-do list? So, but meditating always makes me feel really good. I really like it. I love how it makes me feel. So my thought was like, just do it once.
Just do it once.
Just do it once. That's it. One thing for the whole week. I feel like I can do it. So I'm going to just try to get one meditation session in a week. I know it's not necessarily impactful in the way that like meditation fanatics, you know, they say you need to do it every
day.
This
is how it starts.
This is how it starts. So that's a song.
Are you going to do it in the morning or at night?
I don't
Or in the middle of the day?
I think I'll have to do it in the middle of the day.
Oh,
but it's
okay.
very, I find it very hard to like
be going, 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 and then all of a sudden be like, it's my meditation break. It's just hard for my brain to shut down. But maybe that's the reason I need it.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I need that break of like calming my brain, taking a minute to reset. So I don't actually know when I should do it. Morning is very tough for me because I'm very self-conscious. Like, I can't go and meditate and know that like my kids could just stomp in at any minute or my husband's going to get up and go pee. Yeah. Like, it's just, I need to be alone.
Yep.
And so my thought is to do it, when everyone's gone.
Okay.
I'm going to try it once and I'll see how it goes.
Well, I can't wait to hear.
I will report back. I might be super zenned out by next week.
I look forward to it.
Friends, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Kate Spencer and Dori Shafrir. And again, I did it again. Produced. Now, what's frustrating to me is that I'm able to say produced. Do you know what I think it is?
It must be the cadence of the sentence.
I think it's coming off of Shafrir.
Oh, it's hard. It's too many R's.
So many R's to go from Shafrir to produced. I'm not sure my lips can do it.
Do you want me to say it?
I mean, I like owning produced.
Okay,
so
great.
Listen, Sammy produces and edits this show. Sammy Junio. Please leave us Apple Podcast reviews.
It really does help people find the show. And next week, we talk to the wonderful YA author, Maureen Gu,
who turned me on to a lip product, which I've since purchased and can't wait to talk more about on this podcast.
She also brought us wonderful gifts.
She did.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.